Hi, and welcome to another episode of Unicorns Do Exist. I am your host, Vanessa, and today I have a very special guest, an amazing friend of mine.
Since high school, we met during a period of, like, I'm pretty sure every single teenager goes through the Dramaville of being in high school.
Oh, yeah. It was the drama in the drama?
The drama in the drama. But I mean, that I guess so I was funny. Involved in all drama because I did the drama, I did the chorus, I did it all.
That's awesome. I'm still not very good at singing. I just sing in the shower for fun and at Coachella.
I sing in the shower. I sing all the time as well.
But yes, I always wanted you to come on the podcast because to me, I think you are a unicorn. And that's what I is. I like finding unicorns and figuring out how they got here. How did you become such a unicorn? Even though you might not think it yet, but throughout the process, you'll see why.
I'm definitely a unicorn. I understand
that
aspect of it.
By the way, we look super cool. I'm going to say he wanted glasses, so we're going to keep the glasses on.
Yeah, I was like, they could see our bare face. There it is. But we're millennials, you know? We like the shades, you know? Getting jiggy with it.
I love sunglasses. That's one thing I'm like obsessed with is sunglasses. I've lost so many, but I also have a bunch. I've learned to buy the little like Shein ones.
Oh, absolutely, because they break or I put them in my bag and they get scratched, but
yes.
Do you have eye sensitivity?
Yes.
I have eye sensitivity, so yes. We live in the desert.
Yes.
And
of course, 100%.
We have our glasses.
So it is Pride Month, and happy Pride, everyone.
Happy Pride. Be who you are.
Love who you want. Last month, I started with the mental health topic about how there is a lot, I believe there's still a lot of mental health issues in the LGBT community, and it's also Mental Health Month for men. So, yeah, did you know that? Yeah, it's.
I didn't know about the men health part, yeah.
I feel like it still has a big stigma, not just with men, but Hispanic men, Hispanic culture.
To have mental health?
See, and just to ask for help, to be vulnerable as a man, to say, hey, me siento mal, o traigo algo, o quiero llorar. Like, it is still very tabooed or looked bad upon in certain Mexican cultures, or certain Mexican families, not cultures, but in Mexican families. I know my family was like that for a long time, and I always talk about my father and how if I wish he had more help and more resources, or even advocated for himself, no tenga que pensar que tiene que ser tan fuerte todo el tiempo, he might still be here. And so that's why for me it's a very, very personal topic, not just with my own mental health. Like I said, I've gone through my own share of mental health crisis, but I am very proud of the fact that we are still here. We keep showing up, we do the work. And I know you have a similar story.
Well, I could definitely relate to being a loca. I mean, then Pride Month, you know, since you're men, I am a man, I am gay, and I am loca. So like,
perfect.
All three these things, which I just thought it was Pride Month. So hooray. But I definitely grew up in a household where it's stigmatized to go to the doctor. Like, basically, like, your left tit has to be physically falling off in order for you to go to the doctor. And I use this as example because my tia, she passed away 2 years ago. She lived mostly in the pueblo. My dad's pueblo is Tepic, Nayarit. And she resided her last years of life in Mexicali. But she had breast cancer. And she didn't go to the doctor until the tippity last of the iceberg, like the Titanic hit, and it's like sinking. Like,
so
what are you doing?
She's probably so much pain.
Absolutely, but we're talking about stigma and not wanting to go, or your maybe the resources, again, like how we're speaking. My dad didn't take care of his teeth until he was like adult. In his 45, when he started really like taking care of his mouth because he didn't have the resources. And then when we moved here, he had other bills and more important things to take care of
than themselves, because they're also taught to be so selfless, like, especially if you're a father or if you're a mother, it's all about your kids.
I'm here to be the black sheep. I've decided to break every, because
good. Same.
I am now on my parents' ass, and I want to make sure, and I mean, to each their own. Everybody has their own way of dealing with things, but now my parents are in their third age, and now, monthly visits are kind of like,
needed.
On the usual, because we want to make sure that their eyes, their heart, their lungs, their inners, their outers, their skin. I don't know. You know, like crazy shit like that.
Yes.
Which internally, because I've always been like that, made me look at more of myself as well. Like, we also need to take care of ourselves.
Yes,
like that.
Daily. Yes. And it's funny that I remember I didn't know what flossing was until like middle school. I didn't floss yet.
That's not shameful.
I just took my son to his first dentist appointment, and she was like, oh yeah, he needs to start flossing because he has crowding on top. And I'm like, how did my floss is 2-year-old? I'm like, wait, what? So even that, I was like, felt a little bad. Like, oh my God, mom, you're not flossing? Like, I'm sorry, but I didn't floss till I was in middle school. I didn't think about it. My mom was really good about brushing her teeth and all that stuff. And my dad was very, very, very vain. So they were very on top of those kind of stuff. But it was like more for the vanity sake of it versus the hygiene sake of it. And so
let's do both. I like the vanity and the hygiene.
First, perfect. Which
teeth is amazing.
Yes, it is. And it's a luxury. Now I've let the older I get, it's like a luxury. But you also mentioned growing up, your parents were from Nayarit. Your dad? Where's your mom from?
My mom was born in Sinaloa and had like maybe 2 years there, and then she moved to Mexicali, where she met my dad.
Okay, and how long did you live in Mexicali?
I lived in Mexicali for 7 years of my life, the beginning 7 years.
Did you always know you were gay, different, or when did you ever start feeling like, huh, maybe I'm just a little more special than these kids?
When did I realize I was a fag?
Oh, that's a pretty way to say it too.
I take power of faggot, I take power of cunt, I take power of bitch, because I use that in the term that I want to use that. Mm. Fag to me is like, I'm taking ownership of that. I am a fag. I'm a badass fag.
That's like me with dyke.
Yeah.
I love it. I love that word. I don't know why. I grew up thinking we were all dykes. We had a lipstick dyke, a baby dyke, a butch dyke. We were all dykes. And I was okay with being a dyke. I love it. I was a lipstick dyke. You know, I still am.
I think people started changing that dyke narrative, and they closeted to like the person who looks butch.
Yeah, no.
Because now they call that a lipstick lesbian. You're a lipstick lesbian, or lipstick whatever, you know, fluid woman.
Thank you.
Going back on track, how was it growing up as a gay kid in Mexicali? I was always loved, man. Mm-hmm. But I was very, very, very sheltered. My mom kept me in a very, very small bubble. Luckily, I made a best friend that was literally my next door neighbor. Mm-hmm. When I found out that I knew that I was very different from all the fucking other kids or boys, was when I started developing like butterflies in my stomach, going for to him. Go hang out with my guy friend, my little boyfriend. Because literally, yeah, like, he's my friend. That's a boy.
Yeah, that's so cute.
But that also made me realize how stigmatized that is, because he had a brother and he was older, and he looked at me and he was like, fuck this kid. Like, he knew. I was a child, and he was like, no, fuck that. Like, I hate this kid or whatever. He never did anything crazy, but I always felt his energy, and he was very like,
get away.
He was just mean. Yeah. Mm. Not crazy mean, but like, I'm a fucking kid. Like, I'm a 4-year-old. I'm a 5-year-old, you know, being talking to me like that, you know? Like, true. I said, not again, like, super mean, like, he wasn't yelling at me, but you could feel when you say energy, you know?
And even as a little kid, I think kids are the best ones at feeling energy, or feeling adults around them when they feel comfortable, they don't feel comfortable. I see it more with my son now. But some people he just gravitates to, he's, like, super comfortable and great with. And some other people, no matter how hard they try, they still like, oh, sorry, you just don't want to hug. You just don't want to be around you. And it is that energy.
I also respect the kids' energy. You genuinely let a kid do whatever, like they feel it out, and it's okay. I don't need a kid to come and hug me.
Yeah.
But you know what's funny? Because I'm not going to say, like, oh, yeah, I love kids, because I don't love kids.
I didn't love kids
like,
either.
I'm like, get your fucking rug right away from me. But that's, I don't call it a curse, but I did back in my day, because, like, mostly, I'm not going to say all kids, but most kids freaking want to come and be in my personal bubble, give me a hug, give me a kiss, give me, like, and I'm like, but, like, stay a little bit over there, please, because I'm like,
cooties.
You guys,
No, it's funny.
Mom, please.
Take care of your chin.
He's over. Literally sitting on my lap. Get him along. Get him off. Get him off. Get him off.
It's funny. I didn't like kids either growing up. I called them mitts. Remember that book? Yes. Oh, my God. That was the one book I read from beginning to ending, and I cried and cried.
It traumatized me. I loved it.
And then the guy came to our school, remember?
Yes,
he That's did. How I ended up reading the book. Because I was like, wait, you didn't die?
I did. No, dude, he wrote two other books.
Yes, he wrote more books. I remember. Mm-hmm. No. Well, good for him. I mean, you know, talk about turning your struggles into your strengths.
I ditched my class and tried to see him. Yeah,
yeah, he was at the library. I remember. I don't remember what he looks like, though.
He's a white man.
Oh, okay. That's all I remember.
His life story is crazy, though.
Yes.
He went to forgive his mom.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you understand, like, her psychological issues. Mm. I think I could probably do it. I think I've done so much. I don't know. It's when it comes to my own self, like my mom and my dad, I think I could. I forgive my dad for everything that he's done. And
I forgive my parents for mentally fucking me up.
Yeah.
They didn't.
They didn't.
They didn't, like.
Oh, for sure.
Let me. Like, because I remember the chapter, like, he smacked his face on a diaper, and the way he described his warm blood running down his nose mm-hmm. and on his face, like, I'm like, excuse me, mother?
But no.
Mama? Ooh, you better get away when I'm an adult, because I'm going to have some feelings. But like I said, you know, I love people who could forgive. I could forgive.
Well, it does take time. I mean, don't get me wrong. It took a lot of time. It takes a lot of therapy. Mm-hmm. But at the beginning, yes, there was times where I was like, oh, you're lucky you're my father, because I would go crazy on you. But to respeta, you know, you got to just walk away and push those feelings down, which is where I had to figure out a way to go to therapy, because I was like, I can't keep feeling like this. I can't keep hating this person that I have to continually see. Or I did cut him off for like 6 years. And after cutting him off, it was my time to fix me and either get over it, forgive him, and let go, and then try to reconnect or just never go back. But
you mentioned that he's back in your life. So when is, like, because you know, you, oh, okay.
My dad's dead.
Okay. Dun, 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 dun.
That was easy. No, just kidding. But I was going to say, I did. I was a trauma.
I'm sorry, but it's so, you're like, he's dead.
He died.
He's done. There is no, nothing more dealing with it or going.
No, I think I talked to him more now. He's dead. I talked to him more that he's dead than I did when he was alive.
Especially, you see, dark sense of humor. I love that.
But I did forgive him before he passed away. I did. Forgive him before he died. He unfortunately went the way he wanted. He was always a very strong, beautiful, handsome man, very vain.
That this isn't for you, it's for her.
Yeah.
Sorry,
and so
whatever you are, but
it's okay. So yeah, he went the way he wanted, and I appreciate who he was when he was sober and when he was well, because he made me a very strong woman. He made my sisters very, very strong and independent. Too strong, too independent. That's why we're all single. I think we're really getting into our feminine side, like all three of us.
But you say, because you're single now, but you've had serious relationships.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. But which is with a woman, because of my dad. I was like, I can do anything better than a man.
Boom.
And I think that's where I'm not saying that's where my lesbianism came from, but I think that's where my strength comes from, like my dad. My mom is very strength, but her strength is a lot more emotional strength and emotionally available and kind and sweet. And she's also very, very strong in her own sense. So both of them, I know that they fucked up along the way, but I understand enough to be grateful for the way they created me.
What trauma did your mom bring to the table? Like, as in, like, because I know both my parents have
yes.
had their
my
equal
mom
share.
Is, my mom, I think, is more of the religious / lady-like behaviors and always being good, like, never being good enough. In a sense of like a woman, como que tiene que ser una mujer, limpiar, cocinar, estar ahí para. And the funny thing is, estar ahí para su marido, no salir, no tener novios, no, hacer casos, be proper, quiet, blah blah blah. Oh, nothing, none of that with all three of us. Because my dad is the opposite. My dad is like, go, here's some hockey sticks, here's some rollerblades. You better fucking beat those kids.
Let's go.
And my mom and my. And I love that. That's how I was. I was like, yes, such a tomboy, right? My sister as well, my other sister. My younger sister, though, is more of a teacups and plates and like tea parties. And oh my God, I hated that shit. I was like, she would always beg me to play with her. I was like, sure, set everything up. And so she would set a thing up and I would just go and like throw it all.
At least you're a good sister though, because you could have been like,
she would cut like the food all cute, like she cut weenies and bananas and like, this is our food. And I would go and eat it all and then just take off. My cousins, my aunts from my dad's side would always give us tea sets. So they would give her like the pots and the pans, and I would get like the plates and the cups, and I would be like, here, this is for you. They're both for you. I'm not, no.
For her though.
I liked marbles, I like pogs, I like rollerblading, I like climbing trees. I was that crazy jumping off the walls little girl.
I can relate to that. Love pogs.
Oh yeah, we were like, oh yes.
Dude, I have a little marble thing.
Are we like telling her age?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm proud of
for sure. No, I know. Same.
But you it's know, like these a kids, lot of people that are dead from like our school. Like our 05.
I just realized that one of the guys, well, one of my ex's friends shot himself. I did not know that. When one of the girls from our class told me, I was like, no way.
Like, yeah, to reverse that, flip it and reverse it. Yeah, we were, because it's a privilege being
alive.
The fact that we're, we're older and we're more like, I still feel like we look good.
Oh, yeah.
I think like we're defining.
We look good, period.
To be this age, not a lot of people get to experience what this is. A lot of people won't get to experience what their mid-40s is or even reach their 50s. So it's
people
like,
in our class, which is sad, like people that we actually knew in our classes. For me, it's a little crazy. It takes me back. It's like, wow, it's like a reality check. Because I'm sure a lot of us have been through a lot of very low moments and felt isolated and alone. And
yeah, like how we were speaking, the sadness, we could ride the sadness, but dealing with the pain.
Yes.
Because we were talking about death earlier, and there's people that can't handle that pain. Yeah. But they can't deal with it. So them not dealing with it, you know, makes them take these crazy other options. But like I'm saying, like dealing with your own pain, you know?
Yeah, actually dealing with it, like going through therapy, processing it, not just drowning it in liquor or drugs or things like that, because I've myself have done that before where it's too much and I'd rather get drunk, I'd rather not deal with it today. And that becomes a habit. It becomes the easiest way out, and eventually it's just overpairing and you know, you're done. But me myself, I had to learn like, okay, I need to completely stop and be sober for this period of time where I get help and deal with it. So that if I ever want to drink again, I don't do it out of like the pain.
Yes.
It's more a joy, casual drinking versus I'm going to drink para ahogarme.
Yeah, because to me, like drinking is like a dessert. It's a cheesecake or something like that. You can't have your cheesecake every day because then it stops being special.
Correct.
I can't use alcohol like that either because I still like to enjoy that alcohol, you know.
That's
like, I'm having a good time. Like the last time that I drank was with you.
Really?
And that was what? Three weeks ago. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, but tell me, when was the last time I picked up my pen?
we're gonna treat it as dessert. But when exactly, let's say for you, was there ever a time that you were just felt so isolated and so defeated because of like coming out or with your family or anything like that?
There was never really like some hate. There's always been ignorance. Like, oh my God.
What do you mean by that?
Ignorance in the sense like, okay, so they know that I'm pretty Fruity Pebbles, you know, like, you know, I'm a gay man, I'm pretty flamboyant, I guess, if we're trying to like determine whatever, like these logistics of it. But, you know, like when they, simple question like, whoa, when you get married, are you the girl? Like, what do you fucking mean? Am I the girl? I'm the other guy. I'm the guy in the guy. There's
correct, yeah.
Wait, you're the girl because you're the girl, and my dad's the husband because he's the husband, you know?
Yes. Like,
yeah, that doesn't change.
I used to get that too. So who's the girl? So who's the guy in the relationship? I'm like, I didn't think we married a guy. We don't have a husband. And so they're like, no, you know what I mean? I was like, no, I don't know what you mean. What do you mean?
And with that comes different types of questions, like
who gives to, or who does what?
Have you dealt with the trans stuff with them?
Trans?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Well, not with my parents.
Well, with my mom, yeah.
She's
we have these conversations, and I'm like, dude, like, what?
it just really, they just really don't know. And I don't think they're trying to be rude. I really don't. I think young guys or young people that are men that I meet out in the club, yeah, they're trying to be rude. But I think when it comes to my mom and my tías, like people that I grew up with, and they're really like, no, mija, pero entonces, ¿cómo sabes quién es más masculina? And I'm like, exactly. There's a masculine energy and there's a feminine energy. There's the one that I want to go to work and I want to provide, and there's the one that I want to stay home and take care of the babies. And uh-huh. that is the correct way to see it, but it did take them a long time. He's like, so who's the girl? My older cousins, I have cousins that are like 40, 50 years old. They're the ones that are more like, so who's the girl? Who's the guy? Like, because they're just saying ignorant. They don't really see it. They don't talk about it. It's not like common conversation for them. You know, they don't have a lot of gay friends.
Yeah.
I think.
Out of sight, out of mind. So, but like, you see, my whole life is gay. I am that to them. So I'm like, I just want you to see that if, okay. And I simplified because they have the right to learn.
Correct. We all do. Yes.
I'm learning each and every day of my life. But like, I see, okay, use your eyes. If what you see looks like a woman, don't question that. Don't call that woman a man. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think that's crazy to me. Like, they see a female, and I'm like, yeah, el vato. And I'm like,
no,
okay.
Stop.
Yeah.
And
what?
Yeah, I agree 100%.
I respect that. They have that dykey looking girl, but like, if that's what she wants to identify, correct. I'm like, hey, what's up, girl?
Correct.
I actually talk to men like that. What's up, girl? But I'm like, I'm a dude, and I'm like, yeah, what's up, girl? Okay. You know, that's my own analogy.
But I guess I've seen it. My sister has like had interactions with or men that they look like a man, but then they're like, "I'm a girl," and I was like, "Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know."
And then after that interaction, like, I'd be like, "Okay, what's up, girl? Even though you look like a man, what's up, girl?"
And just play it off. But yeah. I don't get offended because of course, like don't know, it's not my fault. What I think it's funny is when they get mad at me.
I stop.
I'm so sorry. I don't know. Like, I don't know what you want me to call you.
Absolutely. You need to have respect both ways. True. Like, you can't come at me a certain way. You have the right to be like, I want you to bitch. I want you to call me a female. I want you to call me a dude.
Yeah.
You have the right to do that. And then for me to give you that respect back, be like, hey, what's up, bitch? Or what's up, dude? Or whatever. Because that's
how
you want
to. At least give me a chance to redo it, re-say it, or correct myself. But don't just be absolutely mad at me because I got it wrong right just by seeing you. Like, I can't.
Cut that shit off. You're like, bitch, don't talk to me like that. Mm-hmm. You have no right.
I love it when they call me dyke. No one ever does it.
Oh, my God. I've used that word around some of my other girlfriends, and they get triggered. And I'm like, bitch, get triggered with me.
I did it at work. I literally was talking in my workspace, and at that time, Capital One Send does a really cute Pride Month gift. It was super cute. It was like a little teddy bear. It was a flag. Yeah. It was like stickers. And it said, my pronouns are, and then you could like write on it. It was really cute. And so I'm like, oh, and so I remember telling my coworker, we were in a Zoom meeting. I'm like, oh my God, look what I got. Like Capital One knows I'm a dyke.
Hi.
And then they're like, you can't say that. I was like, what? They're like, well, why would you say that? And I was like, what do you mean? And they're like, because one of the girls was like, oh, I didn't get one of those. And they're like, well, it's probably because they know I'm a dyke. Like, I'm a dyke. And then a straight woman was like, you can't say that. And I was like, she's married and has kids.
You can't say that.
And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. She's like, yeah, that's really disrespectful and rude. Like, I'm uncomfortable. And I'm like, I am so sorry. I am so sorry. Didn't mean to offend anyone. However, I love the word dyke. I grew up where I was a lipstick dyke. Yeah. We're all dykes. I mean, I am 40 years old. I didn't take offense to it. And she was just like, well, you know, it's offensive and you shouldn't say it. I was like, okay, well, noted. But I am a dyke. It's just like, I can call myself whatever I want. But now looking back at it, like, I think it's silly and funny, but
it's very silly.
That's the part where I'm just like, I can tell you who I am, but I can't tell you what you don't want me to be.
Like listen, I think they confuse words because like, words that you can't use or you shouldn't use are like the N-word. Dyke? Or like when somebody says like, or like when white people would say like the word spick or whatever, you shouldn't say that. That.
I didn't even know that.
But dyke, fag, bitch, cunt, bitch, those are words that I could use and I take full power for.
Some of them don't roll off my tongue that easily. But dyke does. For me, I'm
It's a beautiful word.
Like, look, I'm like, me está haciendo, like, the chica's going like this, just even thinking of it.
That's funny. Okay,
like,
well.
Like, even, because, like, swearing and things, like, to my friends, I don't swear on my friend. Like, the B word to my friends, I don't say it, things like that. Very, very, like, rarely do I do it here and there.
We're positive.
Very rarely do I do it here and there, but, yeah. I'm saying, I started drinking when I was 12, so I know drinking was a crazy part, but during my quinceañera, that girl, she was...
The bitch?
The mean girl of the group.
La
And I just, you know, I had quinceañera, we went our own ways. I never saw them again because they went to a different school.
Yeah.
I just saw her at the event, one of the Zapitos events. She was there.
Your lesbian Zapito friends.
She's... Wait, what do you mean?
Zapito's not lesbian?
No. I just say she is to throw everyone off. I say she's my girlfriend.
I'm confused because she's the one that girlfriend. I saw on the FaceTime, she looked gay.
What gay? Zapito? She's not gay.
That's she's not gay. Okay, well then I saw some other person then.
Angie? Angie's not gay either. We FaceTime Angie.
No, okay. It's not Angie that I'm talking about. I know Angie.
Hold on, who did we see?
We FaceTime somebody. They look pretty, like, if we're taking words back, they look pretty dykey.
Oh.
I think it was like a flannel and long curly hair, I think. But we were also drinking.
I have no idea who we FaceTimed.
Anyways, like, get back on that.
Okay, sorry. Anyway, yes, Zapito, I saw her at her event. I saw the girl at Zapito's event.
Uh-huh.
And I was so shocked. I was like, oh my God, she looked a lot older than I did, even though we were the same age. She was telling me that she had like 2 kids and she just had a baby maybe not too long ago. I have a 2-year-old, so hers might be like 9 months. And I was like, oh my God, that's crazy. She said it was like a 1-night stand. And I was like, oh wow. But I mean, I wouldn't really know about that since I've been a lesbian for so long. But I guess it happens.
Well, I mean, lesbians have kids.
Yes, I have one too.
That's what I was going to say. I was like, lesbians have kids. I have another lesbian friend who's not a lesbian anymore.
I've been talking about that. I've been saying it's something in the air.
It's Pride Month. They're just like, you know what? Everybody who doesn't feel the rainbow, get out of the rainbow.
Oh, don't kick me out.
I'm not saying you.
Oh, if okay.
The shoe fit.
Oh, that's true.
Is it big?
Well, cause, you know,
or is it small? Because the shoe doesn't fit over here, girl.
Honestly, I think it's the fact that another friend of mine told me, like, well, you're not part of the LGBT anymore. I was like, how dare you? Yes, I am. I'm always going to be. I have a child with another woman. I'm always going to be.
You could tell your friend
that
they sound dumb because isn't the B for bisexual?
Correct.
In there? I mean, they're not going to put fluid now that, like, are later terms.
Yes.
She's a fluid bitch, but if you're going to see the flag, she's the B in LGBTQR.
Yes. I was so proud to be the first letter in there, too. I was like, I'm the L, obviously.
You're not a lesbian, baby.
But no, I'm not.
You're not a lesbian.
I am a bisexual.
She could tell you that. You're not a lesbian.
You're a bisexual. Yeah, well, yes, currently that is how I identify.
But that's what I'm saying. You go here, you go there. You go everywhere. You mm-hmm. feel like.
I'm so confused sometimes with myself, but I'm just fluid. I'm just having fun, and I'm learning what I like and what I don't like in life, and I'm happy with that.
Men. I like men.
Perfect.
Men. What else do I like? Men.
Okay.
Men.
Hairy men.
Oh, we're going definition.
What I'm just saying is there a different type
tall
of
men? Tall men, short men, hairy men, bald men.
Really?
Silver daddies. I like men. I don't like to really per se judge the eggshell exterior. I kind of like to talk to you and see, hey, what's that? What do you think about? You want to talk about Ted Bundy? All right. What else? Space? Wormholes? All right.
Tell me about wormholes.
Ooh, let me see.
Gets you. If you can have a good conversation about wormholes, I'm in. I'm all in.
Oh, or, all kinds of stuff.
Or... a little bit of sports, not too much. Oof. Yeah, see, a little bit of sports. I can do a little bit of sports. I don't care so much about stats or statistics and probably all that racial. I'm out.
I have
Tell
my
me
dad.
What they do, who they're married to.
My dad.
If they're famous, and that's it. No, but I do like to watch the sports. Like, I love watching. I love football. I love basketball. right now, I don't know, I'm between, like, do we want the Knicks to win? Do we not? I don't know. I'm confused. Like, are we Timmy or are we not Timmy? But anyway, do you get it?
I'm basketball players. Like, seeing them dance. I call it dance. Dance around that basketball court.
Or, oh, yeah. Okay,
in perfect. Those shorts. Shh, bitch. Whoa. Like, that's it's good for me. I don't know your sports stuff like that. I know boxing because of my dad.
Okay.
He loves boxing. But again, I can't tell you, like, all these players because I just see hot and hotter.
Oh, okay. Makes sense.
But rugby, I've been looking
at rugby. I've never really... I'm not into white guys.
Go overseas. And you're going to see these, like, men, these, like, burly men lift these men up in the air just to catch a ball.
Oh.
Just to catch a ball. And then I watch this other thing. They're wrestling, but they got to get all oily. Like, that's the thing. You have to be super slippery. And so super
how do you grip?
Exactly. And that's the sport of the game. And that's what I like to watch. Sport. I don't know exactly what they're doing. I don't know how they get their points. I don't know who's winning.
Goodness. I'm winning. I'm learning about how they get their points. But at the beginning, I was like,
I'm winning.
You're winning in
game. I'm just winning.
When I first started watching tennis, I didn't understand how they got the points. But now I understand. Like, you have to serve and all that. You have to serve to be able to get a point.
Oh, but you're not looking at their bodies.
No, I like to watch the games.
I don't See, really, we're talking I about the sports.
I know, yeah, you're right. So if I have a pick a sport like that, I think it would be...
Golf.
No, I don't know. No. Women's basketball, for sure. I love arms. Like, give me some nice, sexy arms. Yeah, it would have to be women. You're gone. I was trying not to say.
You love me. We're still musical kids, dude, so you can't escape that. Were you?
Oh, thank you. I was trying so hard not to sing. I was like, don't sing. I'm like, focus. What were you talking about right now? And my mind was just playing the song.
Well, if we're trying to get back on real track, because we're talking about sports.
Yeah.
But
no, honestly, I think let's go back to musical. How crazy were all those performances and tap dancing and and to think that I did the play, the Technicolor Dreamcoat, the Joseph Technicolor.
Joseph and the amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat.
I did it, and then right when my heart was broken, and I just left the play, and I left school, I left everything. So many people don't know I didn't graduate from CV.
Wait, you didn't get your diploma?
Not from CV.
Oh, that's right. I found this out through Angie. Ooh, Angie, shout out.
I did.
No, not like that, but I remember that there was a conversation. I'm like, ¿Dónde está esta perra? ¿Qué pasó con esta perra? She's like, esta perra ya no es un corn. And I was like, you're not a corn anymore. Children of the corn.
That was a wife.
No. Angie was a corn.
Angie was a corn?
No, she was a corn girl. See, so now you're forgetting that blue jumpsuit with the cream.
Oh, yes, the corn. Yes,
she had a big old clue in high school, so I was like.
She still does. She still does.
So I can't forget about these things. If we're talking about high school. High school?
Yeah. No, I do. I forget a lot of high school stuff. I just met someone. Well, I met him a week ago, but it turns out we graduated 05 together. He's like, yeah, I know you. You're from
high school.
From CV. And I was like, well, I didn't graduate there. He's like, yeah, but you were part of the academy. And I was like, I've never seen him before in my life. He's like, yeah, you have. I was like, sorry. But he didn't know that I didn't graduate from CV also. My senior year. I graduated from National City High School. I'm a devil, technically.
My
shirt that my family made for me and said, she's a devil now, but she still bleeds green and gold. Yeah. It was so cute. I was like, oh.
Yeah, I do. You went 4 years there.
To CV, yes, I did.
And just the last little fart. If we're going back to high school drama, Beverly Hills 90210, that was the high school drama that broke the camel's back. Your camel's back.
Yes.
Damn.
Wait, what do you mean by that?
Well, why did you get out of high school?
Oh, yeah, that was it.
That was it.
That was done. I was so done. Everybody was involved with it. Like, Mr. Reihingen was involved with it. My teachers were involved with it. It was just too much. Mr. Reihingen was like, why don't you get back with him? I was like, what does that have to do with you? Like, he's going crazy.
Bob, but you are crazy. That's some crazy shit. And that's not the first time I've heard stories like that, Bob. Just so you know. And I'm talking to Bob, like,
Bob,
up there or wherever you are. I could be looking down.
His thing was, like, I want him to be, like, Joseph, and he's not performing. Like, he's not... He he's out there being wild. And I'm like, well, talk to his parents. Don't tell me. I'm just a kid.
Wow. Do you remember who the original Joseph was?
Yes. Well, the one that ended up being Joseph.
No.
Oh, he was the original?
The original Joseph was Victor.
Victor, yeah.
Then Victor became Ulysses. Mm. I didn't know that Peter was supposed to be Joseph.
That's what he wanted. He wanted him to be Joseph.
So that's crazy, Bob, because you had three men on rotation.
Well, I think he has to, you know, just in case one subs in, subs out, you know?
No, but he's not you're not the first story, Katrina, I'm sorry, name dropping, but she was going out with a guy named Sean, and he meddled in their relationship. Like, what are you doing? Why are you a harlot? Why are you a whore? Excuse me.
Oh, wow.
Excuse me, you're a man. You're a full-grown man talking to, or talking about a high school girl.
Yeah.
Calmate your fucking culo. Like, that's some crazy shit. So that's why, going back to you.
Mm-hmm. It was.
Cállate, pichocico. Like, they're not together. Yeah. Ya se acabó. Whatever.
Yeah, it was like he put their well-being on our responsibility.
Stupid.
Yeah, it was very dumb. And so that wasn't the first time. What?
No, go ahead.
Okay, it wasn't the first time that he did it to me. There was one time where he was like, I went into the class, like the first day of school, my senior year. I had math, I think a chemistry or math class. And he's like, oh, we both had that class together. So they called to switch our schedules. They're like, you guys can both be in this class. Like, oh, why not? And they preferred him in that class because it was a better class. And moved me to a different class.
That's fucking stupid. Okay, again, Bob, that's crazy.
But the other teacher, Bob wasn't there. It was the chemistry teacher.
Yeah, but it's stupid. It's like grown-ass adults talking about
kids. Yeah,
because
it was the Performing Arts Academy. Like, I went from the
VAPA.
I went from the Hospitality Academy into Performing Arts the last year.
Yeah.
And that shit was horrible. It was the worst decision of my life. But they made it seem like, oh, you're going to do tap, jazz. No, you're going to do ballet in the morning. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. You're going to have more time for rehearsal. So they made it seem like it was going to be the better thing for me. Then
I was definitely tap dancing, like ballet dancing. I was definitely like singing my little ass off.
I loved it in the beginning, but when, like, my junior year. But when they finally started to meddle that much into it, I was like, I can't.
Take the joy out of things. If, like, I have full-grown-ass adults coming to me and being like, no, or whatever.
Yeah. I'm glad. Unfortunately, it's the best thing that ever happened to me was to leave, to get my heart broken, to move
I had
on.
A completely different experience.
Oh, sorry.
I love the VAPA, but yes, you. Can we talk about that last... the semi-last performance then? Because I remember there was a green dress that you wore for that
yes.
Christmas pageant. And it was like a whole ass thing.
Yes, the green dress.
Holy shit. Well, that was our J-Lo thing.
I let someone borrow their dress and they never gave it back.
As an adult, because I remember who you let the green dress in high school. The dress, the green dress. Do we remember the story from the green dress?
No, I don't.
You lived it.
What about it? I remember wearing it.
Because then the drama happened.
What drama?
Tell me. Okay. Well, the Peter and Regina thing. That's what I remember. Who let who borrow a green dress? Did she let you borrow a dress? Or did you let her borrow a dress? And then you found out that there was a cheatage or whatever.
Yeah.
Because I remember we were about to sing. It was Santa's kissing, or mommy's kissing Santa Claus. And you were feeling like down in the cagada dumps.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You were like, but you see again, like high school.
Honestly, I think it's funny because
I was trying to talk in code. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. I remember thinking, I've never felt so heartbroken in my life since that time, since high school. So every other heartbreak that I've had, like, it hurts, it sucks, but none of them were as bad as that one. For some strange reason, not even my ex-wife leaving me.
That's crazy.
Or after I'm 9 months postpartum, did it hurt as bad as this, as my high school?
I was going to be like...
As my high school.
As the high school stuff.
As the high school stuff. Like, that was a pain. Like, I miss it. Like, I literally miss that feeling, so heartbroken. Okay. Thinking that, like, I'm never going to ever love again.
I got to ask
you a
question.
Like, being so genuine, like, genuinely naive. Sorry. Go ahead.
Personal question.
Yeah.
Because I was on the outside looking in, right? I didn't know what the fuck, you know? But I was just like, the betrayal. Because that was your bestie.
Yeah, sure.
That was your bestie. Do you know what I mean?
For a while.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Exactly, for a while, at the time.
I got her into swimming. I got her into cheer. I was like, dude, we're gonna cheer, do bananas. I was like, do this, do that. Like, but she's young, she's a year younger than I am. So like just guiding her, helping her. I'm like, yeah, girl, that's, I mean, it's not me. I'm never gonna be a cheerleader. But do this, do that. Like, do swimming. It's so good for you. Or, like, yes. Everything, yeah.
What I was gonna ask is like, cause I get the betrayal from him, right? Cause that your, you know, you have history and all that. You live down the street from you. But the betrayal from your bestie?
What? I came out in her quinceañera with him. The trauma, so the biggest betrayal was Regina. I remember that we were together, she cheated, I broke my heart. I don't remember like a specific details. I just remember the Christmas pageant was horrible for me. Mr. Hangin being involved, the teachers being heavily involved was horrible for me. And so, yeah, so then that's why I turned 18, decided to check myself out and just be like, I'm out. Thank you, everybody. A lot of people didn't know.
And then I resaw you at prom because you came and visited and you did your thing and you had your bestie, which was Angie.
And Monica.
And we actually had a really good time.
We did. I had a great time. I've danced so much.
And we ate at Denny's.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Afterwards,
we did it.
I still remember my parents blowing me up.
Where are you?
Wait.
It's okay. My parents blew me up too.
You always knew. I got cussed out by my dad. It was midnight. My little brother literally went to prom. My mom picked him up at 5 a.m. from his friends because he wouldn't answer his phone.
Disgust.
Yeah.
Disgust. Horrible. What a fucking double standard. But you know what?
But I am really proud of him because he's 18.
I'm proud of him too.
He's 18. He's a little grown adult. He's had a job since he was 17. I'm proud of him too.
That doesn't change the fact that they fucking treated you crazy in
2005. I wasn't even allowed to go to my bell game. My brother's like, why not? I told my brother that. I was like, because he was like, it's my bell game. And he drives himself. He drives his girlfriend.
Exactly. He'd be like doing it in the car and stuff like that. And it's like, hello, you didn't have that luxury.
No, I did not.
So that's what I'm saying. I'm like, hey, love for everyone.
I was also the first, I'm the oldest. I was the first one ever to graduate. My parents didn't know what the fuck they were doing. He's the last one. She's like, five, you'll be fine. Hey, it's like with my son, I'm like, don't break, don't fall. Blah, blah.
My mom was not like that with me and I'm the last one. So.
Oh, well, that is true. But you're the first boy. And it was back in the day, you know, like it's more normal now.
So shouldn't it be the other way? Shouldn't I have been able to do whatever the fuck I wanted because I'm a boy?
Yeah, probably.
Wasn't.
It was there a big age gap between your sisters?
My oldest sister is 46 and my middle sister is 42.
So like 3 years. You're 39, no?
30. I'm gonna be.
Okay. Oh, you're gonna be.
I'm still 38.
Yeah, right. Never mind. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, Grandma. I'm just kidding. I'm 38, but I'm gonna be 39. Actually, right around the corner.
Perfect. When's your birthday?
July.
July what?
28th.
Okay.
How old are you?
We're gonna celebrate. Yeah, you are. My mom's 27th. That I will never forget.
Oh my God. Isn't that funny? We were talking about it in your bathroom that I took myself out on my birthday because there was nobody around. One of my friends had their like two children get dropped off unexpectedly. Because here's the thing. I have a close
friend.
I don't just hang out with whomever. Mm-hmm. I have to be able to keep with you. I need to be able to like have a good juicy conversation.
We do that.
Juicy conversations. Yeah, I took myself out to Bart's.
Nice.
And that was me, myself, and I.
That's awesome.
Where I ended up seeing your trauma. Yeah,
my trauma walked by.
They were still together and it was cute.
That's good. I'm happy for them.
I'm happy for them too. They're really nice.
I once again, this was the breakup that hurt the most.
And we were talking about like
However, it was the most like, it was also my favorite in a sense where like the pain, the feeling, the emotions, like, oh my God, I'm so heartbroken. I'm never gonna love again. And like, it's all so real because I'm so young that not even when my ex-wife was like, I'm not happy yet. I was like, all right, cool. Like, you hurt. Don't get me wrong. You're hurt. She broke my heart. She broke the dream of my family unit. And that's a whole different kind of hurt. But it wasn't to the point where I am not going to be okay. You know, like I knew that, I survived that. I can survive this. I survived that. I've survived so much that I can survive anything. When you're 17 years old and you get your heart broken for the first time, you literally feel that you're going to die. I died. That little Vanessa
I
died.
I literally checked out. I stopped going to school. I moved to San Diego.
So dramatic.
I had my real graduation and then I had this other graduation. I went to two different proms.
It worked out.
Beverly Hills 90210, but it's Beverly Hills 92236.
Yeah, it worked out for me. I really did. I'm so grateful for that.
The cranberries are my babies. Yeah.
it worked out in my favor, as always. And I'm glad that it happened the way it did, because just talk now, it's like, it makes for great conversation.
Great conversation.
But I don't remember the green dress, though. I think I let her borrow the green dress.
That was going back to the trauma dump. We were ready to go
on. The halter top green dress, no? It was like...
You were wearing...
It's like this, and it had like a... I love that. You know what?
Oh my God, it looks so good on you. If I could just say that. Oh my God. This was during the period I was... I've always been a chunky monkey, so... You know, teenage self was looking at himself being like, oh, you're a fat bitch. Look at all these fucking skinny people around you, you fucking asshole.
Oh, my God. You don't talk to yourself that way anymore, right?
Yes, I do sometimes.
No, stop. If you talk to yourself,
we're
towing, we'd be
we're
friends.
We're going back. No.
Okay, exactly.
I would not be so talking to
why,
you like that.
So then why?
We're going back to the self-love, remember?
Okay, yes.
That's
sorry.
What I would tell my younger self.
Okay, go ahead. Not anymore. We don't do that.
But you were wearing this beautiful green dress.
Oh,
and
thank you.
There was this point where you had just found out that your bestie had just done the yucky yucks with your boo-boo, with your kitty boo-boo. So it's like, I didn't know exactly at that second, but we were about to go on.
Stage.
And we were supposed to present like as happy Christmas-go-lucky little fucking kids. My fucking friend, shout out Lupita, was gonna sing Santa's Kissing Santa Claus. And then Rachel was gonna dance around a fucking snowman. And your face looked like you smelled the strongest shit of your life. Like somebody had Chipotle at Coachella and you went in there right afterwards and you were like this. And I was like, oh my God, what happened? And
I was like,
you know, fuck. Like then later on, that's what happened. You know, then what we were talking about, you were like, my head couldn't comprehend the fucking
chemistry.
Oh, I
remember now.
See? This is like, I love...
We went shopping together to get some shoes for Christmas stuff together for the play. And on that trip, me and my bestie, I saw her phone, and that's when I realized that what was going on.
I love the inner monologue. Like, oh, it's because we're shopping and we're like shopping for shoes. And
Christmas
I was looking
stuff.
At that you were shopping for shoes for the Christmas pageant.
Yeah.
And you must have known, because that night, that's where like you looked like. She was right there with us.
Yeah.
It was you, her, me, and
we were all
the
in
other
the
kids,
together.
You know, all the other ones.
Yeah, that so fun. That green dress was so pretty, though.
That green dress made your tits look fabulous. I mean, your tits look fabulous right now.
Thank you.
But I mean, as a 17-year-old,
oh yeah,
fresh, beautiful, Bambi-eyed girly.
Wow, thank you.
Yeah.
I think I've always had like the breasts.
Yes, you always had big tits.
So.
Yes.
Yeah.
Beautiful big tits.
Until I lost a lot of weight and then I had to like get them redone.
Oh, good.
I'm about to get some new ones.
They look so good.
Thank you.
They look so good. But yeah, back to that. You watched that happen and then you were like, holy shit. Dude, this is a tale as old as time. I was literally watching like, and I don't watch Love Island, but I was watching the Love Island like reunion. And that happened. And I was like, dude, I'm about to see my friend in her pod. We're about to talk about like
the same thing. But it was high school stuff. It's so cute.
Yeah.
So much more has happened since then.
And then we became adults, and then I fell in love, and then I became a drug addict, and then I got on myself out. That was sexy.
That was
sexy. That was a sexy time.
Do you care to share a little more than the cliff notes?
I mean, if we're willing to share, yes. I was really sheltered. Mother didn't let me do things. At the time, I don't know if you remember this, but did you remember going to Granite at nights?
Granite.
So there's a construction building called Granite, and they had a empty place that was hidden by a hill. And all the cool cats would go on the weekends and do a little dumpster fire and drink and have cigarettes and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, no.
But I couldn't even do that.
I never went.
Well, I couldn't do any of that stuff.
When my high school boyfriend had shows and they would be the last band to go on, I would go to the show and I wouldn't get to see him because I'd have to be home at a certain time. My best friend would come with me. She would get to stay for the end of the show.
Absolutely.
You know, she'd get to
this
watch
is where
the
fuckery
show.
Probably unflapped, unflipped, unflapped.
Well, it's fine, but
It is fine, but I'm just saying.
But I remember, mental. Like, I was so sheltered as well that you know, that it's my mom's fault. It's my mom's fault he cheated.
Mom? Dad?
I'm just kidding. But yeah, I was also, I never got to go out at night, stuff like that. I never really got to, didn't go to my bell game. Don't hurt, I didn't get to go to my bell game.
I didn't go to the bell game. No, I did
yeah?
go to the bell game.
Oh, okay.
But it was probably right after rehearsal because we remember how late we'd stay
yeah.
rehearsing. So we'd stay there all day, and then probably by the time the bell game happened,
you were just there. Yeah.
Not because I was like school pride, because I was not like that. I was school pride and like, let me dance for you. Let me be your little whore, like on stage.
On stage. Yeah.
Yeah, but I was not like cheerleading, and I was not like.
No. So how did you get introduced to drugs?
So through being sheltered, because we sidetracked through the not being able to do anything, I met this gorgeous man, as a story as old as time is. Beautiful, tall man.
Dark and handsome.
With this beautiful eyes and the beautiful way of speaking. He was a geek and I was a little like musical rocker kid. So he would talk about his computer and how he needed this like new Windows because he needed to play this video game. And then I would bring in the fucking theatrics with like, shut the fuck up. Let's watch a little bit of Rent and talk about musicals and then watch this movie that featured this song in a musical. And then we'd geek out on like songs. And then that song was featured in this movie that featured it, you know?
Yeah, wow.
I can barely
remember song names.
I fell in love.
Oh, I love it.
And sadly.
Love will do that to you.
Sadly, this young gentleman was heavily addicted to drugs, and I was already dabbling in like my Mary Jane. I was just like, oh my God, I'm such a hopperhead, you know, like I'm so crazy. Because again, I wasn't really drinking, you know what I mean?
Yeah, good.
He came in the picture and he completely like showed me, like he was drugging, and then I started drugging with him, and then we started heavily drinking. And then when I wouldn't see him, I was starting to like hang out with some of my friends, like Morena. I don't know if you remember Crystal.
Yes.
She's still my homie. I love her.
Yes, yeah. I do.
She would invite me to some of these parties that had these other types of druggers. So like I was going from the guy that I was really in love with to my social friends. And they were hanging out with these other people that were doing pills. So it's like, it was a bunch of drugs.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, and drinking was the epicenter of it all. You drink and drug, everybody. You drink and drug. But it was mostly through falling in love. That man was my world, but again, I was the idiot that was going through the motions that I needed to do these things.
Your rebellion side. How was the worst point of it?
Well, everything that came after, the depression, the gaining like 200 pounds.
Wow.
I was like basically like living dead because like I would sleep and then I would eat. I would sleep and then I would eat and then I would self-hate. Mm-hmm. Like I would hate myself. You're worthless. You suck. You're nothing. You're disgusting. No guy wants to fuck you. No guy wants to talk to you. Like it was ridiculous.
Bad.
So years of that, having to therapy, because you see, now I'm like a slobby, lazy piece of shit now. Like, what am I doing with my life? Mm-hmm. I needed to find light at the end of the tunnel, so I started listening to my music again, and I started doing a little more reading, and then these lyrics and then these movies brought me back to life, you know?
Things started to pop up.
Yeah. And then I was like, okay, now you need to clean yourself up. Like, you look like a sad sack of shit. Like, you've always been obsessed I laugh about it now. I'm not offended.
The dialogue is just insane.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So just looking like a nasty, slobby, disgusting bitch, I was like, now you need to change your outside a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not skinny whatsoever, but I'm now at a comfort place where I'm like, I'm not 350 some pounds. Do I want to lose more weight? Yes. I'm trying to lose 40 more pounds, but in due time, I could do this in due time. This could take more time. You know, I'm more focused on me.
You're enjoying the process.
On me. I'm me, myself, and I. Be selfish with me.
Yes.
Because I was so not before. That whole fixing and, you know, getting myself out of that bullshit was ultimately the greatest thing that I saw.
Yeah. Was there a specific moment in where you're like, I have to do change, or like, no more, never again? Or was it just like, little by little, you started winging off or hanging out with different people? Or
I started to gain weight, and I was still kind of at the end of my drug. I got stopped. And I never had anything on my record. I'd never been arrested. I'd never done anything.
Yeah.
And then I got stopped.
We live very good kids.
Yeah. So I got stopped, and then I got a DUI. And that's on your record, 15 years.
15? 10. I think it's 10.
Yeah, 10. 10 or 15.
Okay. I was like, mine's gone. I don't know why. It better be 10 years. But yes, keep going.
No, you still have it in your thing. It's been 10
years. No, I don't.
So, yeah, I got that on my record. And then just the dehumanizing from, like, the cop stopping you, and then he has to check you, and that 14 hours in the drunk tank of, like, that's shit. I drugged one last time. I had my last, like, you know, sinful meal, and I died, in a sense, because...
That person died.
That person died, but also, I wasn't at my full biggest at that point. I gained so much weight after that. That's when I feel like I
started coming back. Oh, because you stopped the drugging. Yeah. Because of you, the drugs made you skinny, so you... Okay, that makes sense.
It was at the end of my drugging, so I was already... perpetually gaining weight, you know, slowly, but I wasn't fully like you're 350 pounds.
Damn.
Yeah,
but after the drugs, that's when you're like, okay, put the weight on, go find yourself, love yourself,
go do whatever means possible. And if people called it an easy way out, I got myself my sleeve surgery.
Okay.
And I, you know, with the sleeve, it's not a magic wand.
Correct. You still have to learn.
You still got to do shit. So you got to train your mind.
Not just your mind, but retain your habits and how to eat. My sister did it as well, and I'm, you know, I didn't think it was. At first, I didn't want her to do it because I was scared.
Yeah.
But she went about it very healthy, I think, where she was really good with her protein intake, her nutrients, her everything. I did see her struggle, like the way she did it, but she looks amazing, and I'm very proud of her. Now she's at the gym every other day, but she also has like. These amazing quads, her thighs are solid muscle. She put in the work, but she was an athlete growing up, let herself go, and then needed that. I think sometimes you need such a drastic change like in your life to make you be like, okay, this is it. Like, there's no going back. Yeah, but that's good. I don't think it's an easy way out.
Well, people have opinions, and like I said, everybody has opinions, but they're like, ask out.
Correct. Okay. Yeah, you have to. I do think that if you're going to choose that way out, you're going to learn how to retrain your mind, retraining yourself to eat. Make a commitment to yourself to be active. Don't go back to your old habits, because if you go with anything that you do, if you go back to your old habits, you're going to go back to the old person.
Yes.
Anything that it is.
Yes.
So anyway, sorry, keep going.
No, I did that, and I trained my mind to do. I'm not perfect. I need to go do what your sister's doing more. She needs, you know, she's gotten herself on the gym, and I need to get myself on a working out regimen, because I want to lose weight, but also I want to tone my body. I feel like we're at our beautifulest self right now. You know what I mean? We're at this peak of sexiness and
maturity,
beauty that I feel like, yeah, that I need to get myself there, that I need to go to the gym, but or get myself more active, you know? But thankfully, to talk positive about myself, because I already know where my mind was going, I was already talking shit, you know?
Yes, good. Thank you.
I've come from 352 to thankfully now 185. 190.
That is freaking amazing.
185, 190. No. I want to be, that's my goal.
Really? I think 175.
160, because I want to gain some muscle.
Okay,
like
good.
Shoulders and pecs.
Yes, okay. Yeah, that's easy.
And I want to gain an ass. I really want to work an ass, because I have no ass. It's so sad. It's depressing.
My sister has both of them have the best ass ever.
My God, they jealous.
One of them was born with it. The other one literally created it. So
I need advice from the one who created it.
The little, young one. She created it. But they both have beautiful toned muscle legs, muscular legs. Now that you're here, now that you feel, I'm saying, feel so much more you, in love with you. What do you tell yourself now? How do you talk to yourself now?
I keep going to, because we need to focus on one really important thing. Mm-hmm. I am not perfect, and neither are you, and neither are you. Nobody's perfect. So I still have these like really shitty moments of like, I talk down on myself, but I have these beautiful realizations of trying to snap myself out of it. And or being around beautiful people like yourself, you're like, hey, don't fucking talk to yourself. What's wrong with you? Like, don't do that to yourself. Like, do you talk to me like that? Because I wouldn't fucking talk to me like that.
No, I mean, like, you wouldn't talk to me. I wouldn't be your friend if you talked to me like that, right? So what makes you think that talking to yourself is okay like that? Your own self is not going to love yourself. It's going to be like a disconnect. And that's why I meant to say.
So that's the realizations that I've had, that you need to stop that. But it goes back to that question that you asked me earlier. If I could take myself to a time machine, what would I do to like my 17-year-old self or my high school self or my 14-year-old self?
What would you tell your 17-year-old self?
Focus on you. Don't be boy crazy. There's going to come some individual that's going to try to derail you, but please love yourself so much harder now that you are this beautiful, chubby individual. Work so hard on it, and by the time that you're in your 30s, this easier ease of things is gonna come. Mm-hmm. I'm working on it each and every day to this day. Now that I'm in my late 30s, it's gonna be something that I work at forever.
Correct.
But if I would have had that, you know, beginning push from my teenage self, I would be fucking so much farther. Mm-hmm. So that's what I would tell myself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Yeah. What about you?
Do you think you would have listened to yourself?
If I would have seen myself, like me, a version of myself, like, yes, I would have listened to myself. If it would have been like some fucking stranger, I would have been like, yeah, lick my ass. You're
That's what I mean. Sometimes we hear all these things from our parents and stuff, but we don't listen until we, because we don't see the consequences that we are going to have.
True.
Me, I would tell myself that I'm not crazy.
You're crazy. Yes, you are. You are crazy. What?
Wait,
call don't lie to yourself.
Actually, yeah, you know what? I would tell myself, you're crazy, and that's a good thing. Embrace it. Listen to yourself. Embrace your craziness. Listen to yourself. And it's going to get better. Like, everything's going to get better. Once you listen to yourself, everything gets better. Now I feel like I love love, and I am love. Like, I am love, and it's okay. But yeah, that's what I would tell myself. I think it would have saved me a lot of heartbreak. But I don't regret any of the things, any people that I've dated or anything that has happened till this point in my life. One last question.
Oh, yeah.
This is my favorite. What makes you a unicorn?
What makes me a unicorn is not thinking like every other person that I've encountered, at least to me, like, okay, let's, in my Pride Month, mm-hmm. if I can go to a bar in Palm Springs and start talking to whoever's there, mm-hmm. vastly different conversations. Now, am I going to hate on that person that's enjoying themselves at the bar and talking about the Kardashians or talking about, like, some dumbassery, you know what I mean? Exactly. Things that, you know? No.
Timmy?
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Okay?
No, I get it. It's like, to everyone, I'm happy for whatever you're happy for. Like, if you, that's you, it might not be my thing, but go ahead, you do you.
But it's not my thing, yes.
Because at the end of the day, if someone comes to me, I'm so happy in a place in my life where someone comes and says, the sky is purple, I'd be like, yeah, yeah, I'm glad, I'm happy that your sky is purple. That's awesome. You know, have a great day.
You live your reality, so.
I'm going to go and, you know, get my drink and be happy. And if my sky someday turns purple, great. But for now, it's blue. And we're going to keep it going.
So my unicorn comes in the aspect of like, okay, random stories. Like I'll be, okay, let's talk about serial killers.
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk about wormholes.
Yes.
Let's talk about body, like the body. Isn't that funny? Like, you know, like things.
Yes.
Like, you know.
Interesting conversations. Like.
And not to say those other conversations aren't interesting. A lot of people are like, are you talking about the wormhole? What does that mean? Space? The planets? And I'm like. Yeah, what did Kourtney Kardashian do last week? Oh, that's hilarious. No, bitch, I don't care. I'll humor you because if we're friends, I'm going to things that I don't want to hear sometimes.
Yeah, I've never been into reality TV, period.
Oh, I am. I am.
Yeah? I don't like the housewives.
Different folks.
I can watch here and there, but I've always thought, why watch reality TV when you can go live your life?
Listen, I still get shit from not watching RuPaul's. I've maybe watched like seven episodes.
RuPaul has a purpose. It's
Michelle
a
show. Hate on me for that. They're like, how dare
I don't think that's not reality TV. To me, that's no. RuPaul is a show. They're trying to win a contest. Like, there's a purpose to this. I'll watch The Voice.
Kind of reality TV though. It's
their life. It's them in this process of their life. It's not like I'm watching you eat breakfast just because it's you. No, I'm watching you go get a salad down the street because it's you. No, I'm not. I rather let me go get a salad myself. You know, like, let me live my life instead of watching other people live their lives. Excuse like when one day
Laguna Beach or The Hills.
I never watched that.
See, that comes from a millennia.
I never watched that. I didn't know about it until
it's because you're 40 and I'm like still in my 30s.
39.
Ah, I am fucking with you.
Maybe.
No. Because some people like their reality TV. I'm like, how you're saying, you weren't into it.
But the thing, that's something that for me, I've always like, kind of like, I'd rather watch a movie or a show, like an actual movie or a show that has a purpose to it. I'm not saying it's bad. I've binged one season of The Kardashians when they like just got to Hulu. But it was more of like, I was pregnant and I had nothing else to do. Like, it's not that it's bad, but I do realize it gets addicting. Like, you want to watch the next one. You know which show got me really hooked that I hated? Selling Sunset?
That's reality TV.
Yeah, that's reality TV. And I was like, Dwight, why am I watching this all the time?
I watched Shaws of Sunset.
Shaw, what's that?
They're the Armenian rich people. It's basically The Hills, but Armenian.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, stuff like that. So I'm saying, it's not that it's bad. It's just not that I'm going to... I'd rather not. But I forgot what we're talking
about. We're going back to the unicorn question. That's what makes us unicorns. Because I could talk to anybody. I will never disrespect anybody unless you make me feel stupid.
Or disrespect me.
Exactly. That's what making me feel stupid. You're disrespecting me. There's what did you mean by that? I will always question it, and it's like, if I feel some certain type of way, I'm going to act a certain type of way.
Okay.
So, that's what makes me a unicorn, because I am going to always step on the other side of the line. If there's a sheep of herd doing one thing, I'll be like, well, what am I standing in line here for? Do I really want that? No, I don't. Do I want that? No. Okay, I'm going to go do whatever the fuck I want to do.
Yeah.
That's my mindset is what makes me that fucking unicorn.
Thank you. Love it.
You're welcome. What makes you a unicorn?
It's not as funny. honestly,
I want to know.
I think the amount of love that I have still left inside of me after everything. For everyone.
You're a ball of sunshine.
For everyone, genuinely for everyone. I genuinely have so much love for everyone, and I want nothing but the best for everyone. After everything that has happened to me, like, I genuinely believe that what I give to the world's gonna give to me.
And I love that.
So it's not even about the person. It's just about the love that I'm giving. That's it.
And again, to circle it all back into one circle, we came into each other's lives, I think, for a purpose and a reason.
Of course. 100%.
Enrich, I feel, ourselves in how you're saying the love that you give.
Yes.
But also, I give a lot of attention. Mm. See, like, as much as I love to talk, I also love to hear people, like, tell me.
I was like, I wasn't expecting the question. I was expecting you to ask me so many questions.
Yeah.
In the podcast.
That's my way of love. I'll pay attention to little things.
You do. I've noticed.
And, like, your story that you thought was dumb, I didn't think that was that dumb. The story that you thought was interesting, I kind of thought that one was dumb. No, and I'm just saying that as an example.
For sure. Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah. We are unicorns in our own little fucking freaky dicky way.
And that's why I love it.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. Thank you for coming and sharing your story. I said it earlier, but I'll say it again. I'm extremely proud of you. Mm-hmm. I cannot imagine getting myself out of certain depressions that I was in without my family.
Yeah.
And the fact that you did it on your own and you found the tools simply because you knew there was more for you is amazing.
Yeah.
And I hope that this helps many people who ever feel sad, alone, depressed, and don't feel like they know the tools or resources. It's just simply knowing that there's something inside you that deserves more is enough to stay in this world. So please stay here.
Stay until the world takes you out, because there's so many things out in the world. Hello. You don't know who else is driving out there. You don't know who else is in your life. You don't know what's going to happen. The administration. Everything that's happening in our world, things are going to take you out. Just let its course run its time.
Yes. All of it. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you for everyone that stayed to the end of the episode. And remember that unicorns do exist. You, my love, are one of them.
Thank you.
And so are you guys. So I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.